All right, Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to read the first five verses. And I'm wanting you to get your Bibles ready because we're going to turn to quite a few places tonight, but I need your minds tonight. This isn't going to be complicated. This is going to be fun. All right, this is not heavy-duty thinking, but it's going to take some logic, but you'll be okay, I promise you. Revelation 22, let's read the first five verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And now, tonight, we're going to talk about what will we do in heaven. What will we do in heaven? Heaven is going to be a very wonderful place. But just like going on vacation, you gotta... Now, I'm not real good at some things, but I hate going on vacation and not knowing where I'm going, what I'm going to do when I get there, and not knowing where I'm going to stay. You plan a vacation. If you're going to go to Colorado Springs, Colorado, you ought to know where you're going to stay, what you're going to do while you're there. If you're going to go to the monuments that are there, if you're going to go up to Pikes Peak while you're there, if you're going to go see the Air Force place, if you're going to see NORAD that's near there, there's different things you can do while you're there. But you got to plan those things. You don't just show up and say, hey, y'all, what you want to do? All right? That's not a fun vacation. Now, I'm not saying spontaneity is not good every once in a while, but planning and knowing what's there ahead of time will help you. Now, I'd like to do the same for you in reference to heaven. I think wait until you get there to figure out what's going to happen isn't any fun. I think we ought to look forward to what's coming. I told my wife a few weeks ago, I got everything planned for us to go to Kentucky, and I didn't tell her. I had all the details worked out, and she was the last one to find out. You say, why? Because I want to make sure I could get it all in place. I talked to Brother Stoltz, good night, a month ago or more, well over a month ago, about it. I had to make sure he was available at certain times. I had to make sure I could get everything covered. And I just wanted to make sure all that was done. I've got some things in the back of my mind I want to do. We're going to plan some things tomorrow that we're going to do. And we're going to look forward to it till we get to do it. Now, I want the same thing for heaven for you. I think if we can know what's there a little bit, we have a better understanding of what we're going to do. The average person thinks of heaven as everybody sitting on a cloud sprinkling spoofu dust, singing holy, 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 or the hallelujah chorus for eternity. And that's not what it is, all right? Now, I'm going to give you some of the things we'll do in heaven. I can't tell you what all you'll do. You say, why? Because eternity's a long time. What I will give you is what's in Scripture. Some of it is logical that you get from Scripture. But heaven is a real place. Now, here's the disadvantage. None of us have ever been there. I can't tell you by experience what it's like that I've been there. That's one place I have not yet been. I've been to a lot of places, but I haven't been there. My son, my daughter's boyfriend, Brandon, was on tour this summer for the college. And, of course, he texted my wife his schedule, or me, or both of us, I don't know. I was looking through, and I thought, man, not many places he's going I haven't been. So it became a game, and I'd tell him, he went to the first place, he said, Brother Bush, he said, first church we went to, somebody there knew you. I said, yeah, it was the pastor. I said, I helped train you, that pastor. And he went to the next place. Somebody there, they traveled for I think 10 or 12 weeks. They only went to two churches that somebody there didn't know, my wife or I. I said, I told you, son, everywhere you go, I got people watching you. And he said, I'm beginning to believe that. I said, good. I said, it's true. But I think there was only two churches the whole time that he went somewhere that somebody there didn't know us. And it got to be the tour joke. We'd show up and everybody on the tour would say, who here knows Brother Bush? He said, they were asking. I wasn't. Everybody else did. And it was just a lot of fun. But I can't tell you that I've been to heaven, all right? But I can tell you what the Bible says about it. We can draw some natural conclusions from it that won't be deviating from Scripture. And here's what you have to understand. Our minds are finite. That means they have limitations. Some are limited more than others. Right, April? But some of us, we all have a finite mind. Heaven is infinite. All right? She just now got it. Yeah, I know. Slow freight. I think the train dropped the load. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand, heaven is eternal. We can't think in lines of eternity. Our minds are bound by time. Now, I can't tell you that there's no time there, but I'm not sure that it's measured exactly as we measure it here. Now, I've heard people say there's no time in heaven. I can't tell you that because in Revelation 22, verse number 2, it says that the tree of life bears fruit, a different fruit, every month for 12 months. That's a measure of time.
Yep.
Now, I don't think it's measured in the same way that we measure time here. But I think that time is somehow measured there. Does that make sense to everybody? Because God talks about 12 different fruits, one each month, 12 months a year. That makes sense. Okay? Now, I can't tell you that time is going to mean as much to us there as it does here. But it's kind of hard to say that you're going to have a meeting at a certain time if there's no time to meet. And there'll be things to do while we're in heaven. Now, does everybody understand that? We'll get into that in another lesson, I promise you. But how many of you have ever had a job and they gave you a general idea of what your job was going to be? But once you started that job, it was a whole lot more than they told you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Kind of like marriage. You think you know what you're getting into, and when you say I do, you then say I did what? You know, it's one of those things that it keeps growing as it goes. And I believe heaven is much the same way. I think God gives us a little overview, but it's not limited to that. Does that make sense to everybody? So I don't want you to think these are the only things we're going to do while we're in heaven. This is just some of the things in the Bible God talks about, and I only have about 26, 27 minutes left, so I got to hurry because I've got about 8 different points, all right? So that's about 3.5 minutes a point, and we're in trouble, all right? So here we go. Number one, you'll like this. I put it first on the list for a reason. Heaven's a place where we're going to eat.
Yeah.
Amen. Heaven is a place where we'll eat. Look at Revelation 22, verse number 2. Midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the leaves were a healing agent for the nations. Pray tell me, what's fruit good for if you can't eat it? Fruit's there to be eaten. All right, look at Revelation chapter 19, just a couple pages back. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Wow. Be glad, rejoice. You say, why? Because we're Baptists and there's food. Amen. And give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Watch this. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. What's the next word?
Supper.
Now, what's supper without food? The marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, God talks about food being there in heaven. Now,
again,
I'm going to refer to some scripture. I'm not going to make you turn there. I'll refer to some places in scripture. After Jesus died, shed his blood, and was buried, resurrected, went to heaven, and came back for 40 days. One of the first things we see him doing in John chapter 21, he went back to the disciples who were out on their boat fishing. He helped them get a whole bunch of fish. They drug them in, and he already had fish and bread spread out before them. And in John chapter 21, verses 13 through 15, you find out that Jesus ate bread and fish with them, and he was in his heavenly body. Please don't get mad at me, but I don't know that we're going to be vegetarians only in heaven. Glory to God. I know that Jesus ate fish in his glorified body. Everybody doing okay? Now, wait a minute. I'm not telling you that you're going to go out and kill deer, but if we are, Brother Jimbo and Brother June and my dad and I, a couple of you men, we're going to have the hunting trip of eternity. No bag limits. We can shoot anything we want. Amen. Glory to God. Now, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy eating. It's obvious. And I think that we ought to enjoy eating. I think families that eat together and eat meals together at the same table, not sitting around the stupid television, have a better chance of being a closer family.
Yes, man.
I think mealtime ought to be fun time. Some of the best memories we have are about food. And some of the worst memories we have are about food. Like peas under tear cushions. But we won't go there. Now, I personally think food will be for the enjoyment, though, not for the necessity. I don't know that we're going to have the hunger that we have on earth in heaven. I don't know that our desire to eat will be hunger-driven as much as enjoyment-driven. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't think you're going to have three meals a day, but I think you can eat anytime you want just to enjoy time together with people. I don't think that our stomachs are going to barometer it as much as what we want to do with the person or the people we're with at the time. So I think the desire for food will be different in heaven, but we know, and I don't have time to take you there, but there's many, many, many other places where Jesus ate in his glorified body. Talks about food in heaven. Talks about the different trees and the different fruit that will be in heaven. And I believe we'll eat there. I hate to tell you this, but there's horses and other animals that will be in heaven. And I don't think that they live forever without food. So that means there's grass up there. So somebody's got to mow the grass. Mrs. Barnes is going to milk all the cows. Her and Joe and Ashley. They're going to be on the heavenly dairy farm, amen? you'll have to ask God that. I'm not in charge of that. But, so food will be a part of our fellowship in heaven, all right? So one of the things we'll do is we'll eat. Number two, heaven's going to be a place of reunion and fellowship. Heaven will be a place of reunion and fellowship. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I need you to think with me real quick here. Look at verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, what's then? When we get to heaven. Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Did you know your personality won't change a whole lot when you get to heaven? You just drop your sin nature. Fred, you're going to be just as ornery as ever. You just won't be doing it sinfully. And your poor wife's got to put up with you for eternity. I mean, obey. Heaven just got a little bit sweeter, didn't it? For some. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that we will be known as we are known here on earth. Did you know that your personality, God made it uniquely to you? Even yours, Miss April. And I thank God for it. There's going to be a place for everybody's personality, and you're going to know somebody because of their personality. When Jesus' resurrected body, when he came back and saw Mary on the road there before he went to heaven to put the blood on the mercy seat, she thought that he had been the gardener until he said, Mary. She heard his voice, and she knew that voice. She knew how he would call her name. And she said, Rabboni. She said, Master. She knew that voice. Have you ever been in a crowd and all of a sudden you heard somebody's voice you haven't heard in a long time? You turned around and you pulled them out of the hat. You heard that voice. you heard them speak, and you could tell by the tone of that voice. Just like when your parents would call your name, you knew if you were in trouble or not just by how they said your name. If they used your first name, usually you're okay. If they called you by your first and your last name, you better come running. If they called you by your first, your middle, and your last name, you better run the other way. Because it's over. Judgment hath come. Amen. So we are going to be known as we are known. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 17. I'm going somewhere with this. Trust me. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 1, and I'm going to read 4 verses. Ready? Matthew 17, verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, that is the Greek word for Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. Now, wait a minute. Did Peter, James, and John ever meet Moses and Elijah before? Nope. But they were calling both of those fellers by name. They came from heaven to earth in their heavenly body, and Jesus introduced them. And they began to know one another. They were recognizable. Jesus called him by name. Jesus knew him. But you say, how did Jesus know him? He was in heaven before they got there the first time. He had been in heaven for eternity past. He knew them. That was a little bit of a reunion. I can see him being transfigured and being there with Moses and Elijah. And all of a sudden he says, hey, fellas, I want you to meet my three of my new friends down here. He said, I want you to meet Peter, James, and John. Come on down here. I think they had a little bit of time of fellowship. Matter of fact, Peter said, man, this is so good. Let's build 3 tabernacles here. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And Jesus said, no, we're not building no tabernacles. This is just time of fellowship. I needed some encouragement. I brought my friends down from heaven. Need a little extra time with my friends. So we are going to see loved ones and friends in heaven. You're going to see some of you families that have lost babies or small children. You'll see them in heaven. Parents, you're going to see your parents that have gone before you, and your grandparents or your siblings. You're going to see family members who have died and gone to heaven. They will be there. Your spouses, they're there. They're waiting for you. They're going to be there, and when you get there, you'll be known there. Now, you're going to see old friends there. You're going to see people that you've known before while you were here on earth. I was thinking as I was preparing this, the different churches my wife and I have been in. We were in a church in Southern California. We had some families we were very close to. I see my mom nodding her head. She knows who I'm going to talk about. Hein and Grace Hofstra were there. Hein and Grace were elderly people then, and that was 25 plus years ago that we left California. And may I say this, they're probably in heaven today, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to look them up. We were in South Carolina, and there were some some folks down there, and I'm not going to call any names right now, but then in Hammond, of course, I know hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands there that will be there. I have old preacher friends. I'm going to get to see Brother Hyle someday again. I can't wait for that. I really can't. I was out on the property yesterday. I went by last night to make sure the sign was still up. I was out in that end of town. I want to make sure somebody didn't tear it down. Say they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they would. But I walked out on the property for a moment, and I just was talking to God for a second, and I said, Lord, I wonder what Brother Hiles would think. And I could hear in my ear his voice saying, good job, son. Good job, son. I could just hear it.
Amen.
I think he was happy. Yes. I don't know why. Maybe it's just my arrogance. I'm sorry. But I'll get to see him someday.
Yes.
I was thinking of my old friend, Brother Mike Bajent. I'm going to get to see Brother Mike again. We're going to go shoot groundhogs together. I mean, there's folks that I went to school with and men that I have trained in the ministry. Brother Rob Northrup just died here last week and a half or so ago up in Maine, and his wife Grace, and I knew Rob and Grace and trained them, and I'm going to see him again someday. Brother Rich, and you knew them as well. Others that I haven't seen in years that are there. I have folks that I graduated from high school with that have died. I'll see them there someday. Some of them I'm not sure are going there, but so we'll see. Loved ones, and by the way, we'll know them, and they'll know us. We'll get to catch up. Amen? I don't need Facebook. I got heaven.
Amen.
I really don't. I'd rather wait till heaven. I got too much to get done down here to piddle on a stupid computer thing to do all that mess. So, heaven will be a place of reunion and fellowship. Next, heaven will be a place to meet people from history. Not just people you know, but people you've heard about. How would you like to go see Moses? There's a few people in the Bible I want to go meet. I really do. I've listed a few here, but Moses is nearing the top of my list. The life of Moses is just amazing. I'd like to see King David. I'd like to see Timothy in the New Testament. I'd like to see Adam and poke him in the nose. I'd like to meet Adam. Can you imagine going by Adam's house in heaven, knocking on the door and say, can I talk to you for a while? I'd like to go meet him. There's a lady in the Bible. To me, this is the greatest story, one of the funniest things in all the Bible. And in the book of Judges, there's a lady in the Bible named Jael. Jael took a tent peg and nailed it through a guy's temples and stuck him into the ground. He was an enemy, and he come running into her tent and said, look, hide me. If the people come asking where I'm, if there's a man here, tell them no, there's not. Well, if you're hiding in a woman's tent, guess what? He wasn't too far off. She took the old tent stake and pow, 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 and drilled it right through his head into the ground. I'd like to meet her. I'm just going to make sure she doesn't have a hammer in her hand. Yeah, I'm not asking her if I can go in and take a nap, that's for sure. Yeah, my wife the other day, I was going out yesterday, my dad, pick up my dad to go put the sign up. She said, do you have a hard hat? Shut up. I'd like to meet Abraham and Sarah. I really would. There's some things about their lives. I want to meet the Apostle Paul. I really would like to meet John the Baptist. He sounds like my kind of guy. Now, he can eat all the locusts and wild honey. Well, I'll eat the wild honey. He can eat the grasshoppers, amen? But John the Baptist, I'd like to meet the Apostle Peter. I really would. I think Peter is one of the funniest people in the whole Bible. He cracks me up. I'd like to meet the Apostle John, Solomon. I'd like to meet Mary and Martha. I'd like to meet Elijah. Up on Mount Carmel, killing those 850 false prophets by himself. Man, I'd like to meet Samson. You talk about a guy that would have some
some stories to tell. I think that so heaven's going to be a place for us to meet these people. Did you ever drive by somebody famous and drive by their house just to see their house? They have tours all over L.A. of driving by all these movie stars' houses and stuff. And I've driven by a lot of fancy people's homes. And you know what? When we go to heaven, we can go by and say, there's where Adam lives. There's where the Apostle Paul lives. There's where Brother Stoltz was supposed to live. I mean, you know, there's those things. Then we're going to see famous Christians in more modern history past. J. Frank Norris. I didn't get to meet J. Frank Norris, but part of my ministry was shaped by people that were shaped by J. Frank Norris personally. I'd like to meet him. Dr. Harold Henniger, Dr. Bruce Cummins were both trained personally and worked for Dr. J. Frank Norris. I knew Dr. Cummins and Dr. Henniger. I'd like to meet J. Frank Norris. You can go online and hear some of his sermons, but don't do it if you're not tough. That's all I can tell you. J. Frank Norris got saved a little bit into his early adult life. I'll give you one of his quotes. He said, "I was mean as hell before I got saved. I was mean as hell after I got saved." And he was. He was tough. He was tough. Now, I might not agree with how he said it, but he got an awful lot done. He pastored the two largest churches in the country simultaneously without a jet plane, one in Texas and one in Michigan. 2 weeks in Texas, 2 weeks in Michigan. Had one church running over 12,000, the other church running over 5,000, and never ran a bus because it was before the bus ministry. And he traveled the country every week preaching around the country by train. The man knew what he was doing. Man, did he have it going. I'd like to meet D.L. Moody. Crazy Moody. He started the bus ministry in America in the 1800s with no buses. He had horse-drawn carriages through the city streets of Chicago picking up boys and girls. Yes, sir. Taking them to church. I'd like to meet Charles Haddon Spurgeon, what they call the Prince of Preachers. Spurgeon's tabernacle in London would seat 5,000 people, four levels. And he preached between the second and first levels. And he would fill that tabernacle up two and three and four times every day and preach to people. They'd have tickets to get into church. They did church and shift work. And he would preach three, four, five times every Sunday and fill that building up three, four, five times a Sunday. In other meetings, preached all over the country. And that's back in the 1800s. That's before there was a PA. Can you imagine preaching to 5,000 people in one room with no PA? Whew. You won't have to get close to him to talk to him. I want to meet Billy Sunday. Talk about a fiery... Billy Sunday was a professional baseball athlete, a drunkard, was in Chicago playing for the Chicago White Stockings. Heard a guy preaching on the side of the street and stumbled into the rescue mission and got saved. Hung up his cleats and picked up a Bible and started preaching. He would go into cities all over America and preached, and revival would cut loose and they'd close the bars down and the churches would grow. That's how powerful of a preacher he was. Matter of fact, my grandmother got saved at a Billy Sunday revival in the early 1930s, who's still alive today. I'd like to meet George Whitefield, the golden orator, George Whitefield. He would preach out. He never preached inside. He hated preaching inside. He'd gather crowds outside, and he'd preach to 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people at a time or more. They said his voice could be heard up to over a mile away while he preached. Phenomenal man. I want to see Dr. John Rice. Never got to meet him personally. Never got to hear him personally. I did get to hear Dr. Lester Roloff, and I'm going to get to see Brother Roloff again, but he's not going to be flying a plane. Brother Roloff was killed in a plane crash. He was the pilot. Flew into a storm, and lightning ripped the wing off, and he and six others, were killed in a plane crash. My cousin was on that plane that went down, but Brother Roloff was a very interesting man. I'd like to meet Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I didn't get to know Dr. Jones. He was dead before I think I was born, but Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was an amazing man. Now, heaven's going to be a place where we're going to get to meet these people. Heaven's going to be a place where we'll tour these people's mansions. I can't wait to go to some of y'all's mansions. I really can't. I think it's going to be fun. I'd like to have you over and see mine whenever I get there. But I think it'll be a place like that. Number next, and I'm going to hurry here because I got to fly through this. Heaven's going to be a place where, and I'm going to use a word here, where there'll be some museums or sweet memories that are stored. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to really quickly read the first six verses. When you get there, just hunker in here, all right? Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 6. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Hey, you remember the old tabernacle in the wilderness where Moses got the blueprints for? For every high priest, verse number 3, is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example of a shadow of the heavenly things. A shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. The true tabernacle is in heaven.
Not the one Moses made, but the one that God showed him when Moses was in the mount. The one that they got the blueprints from. We're going to get to see the real tabernacle. We'll get to see the golden laver. We'll get to see the courtyard. We'll get to see as you walk into the holy place there. You'll get to see the table of showbread on the left, and you'll get to see the golden candlestick on the right. You'll see the altar of incense before you. The veil will be there. Actually, the veil will be open because God will be there. And you'll have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat sitting on that. And it'll all be set up just like it was in heaven. Because it is the one from heaven. And we'll get to see that. You talk about having some fun.
While we're in Kentucky, I'm thinking about taking my wife to that new Noah's Ark Museum. It's a life-size replica of the Noah's Ark. You say, why are you thinking about it? Because it's about $30 or $40 a person to go through that thing. I should have gone the first 40 days. First 40 days and 40 nights, it was free. I thought that was humorous. I thought it was great. But it's cost like a couple $100 million to build this thing. It's phenomenal. I'd like to go see it. I'm hoping to do some other things and go see some things like that. Heaven's going to be much like that. Now, you can say, this is my opinion, but I believe we're going to see the original Bible in heaven that God spoke.
Amen.
Now, this is the one given to us in English, and this is as close to the original in heaven as it is. It's word for word, just so you know. It'll match this, but I'd like to see the original, wouldn't you? I have when I get my bookshelves back up, I have Bibles from the 1700s, I have Bibles from the 1800s, the 1900s, and I have Bibles from the 2000s. I have from four different centuries, I have Bibles. Can you imagine being able to see the original? That would be some fun stuff. Tell the NIVers to take it and stick it up their pharisaical snoot. Amen. Because it won't be the NIVKEYMOUSE version. And by the way, you go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, it talks about that his word was in heaven before the foundations of the world. Yeah. And we will get to see that because Jesus is the word of God. Yeah. Now, this is my opinion, and it's only my opinion, but I believe we'll get to see the cross that Jesus hung on there. I believe it'll be there. And I think many great events of history God has miraculously preserved and will have taken there. He has that ability, just so you know. And by the way, the Vatican doesn't have the cross. The Pope doesn't have access to it and never has. All right. Now, let me hurry up here. I've got two or three more points I'm going to give you very quickly. Number six, it's going to be a place where we're going to ride horses.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, talks about the fact that we will come back riding on white horses, and that means there's enough horses for every person that's in heaven, because we're all coming back. And hers is named Obey. we're going to be able to view heaven and earth's beauty on horseback. Is that our only mode of transportation? I don't know. I know it talks about there being over 20,000 chariots there. Chariots are pulled by horses. Maybe we'll have chariot races. I don't know. I'll put my money down on Brother Barnes winning. I think we'll be able to race our horses, and it won't be gambling. We'll just have fun running our horses. And I gotta hurry. Number six or seven, it's a place of music and singing. Heaven's gonna be a place of music and singing. We are gonna sing. Look at Revelation chapter 5. You're there in Revelation. Look at verse number 8. And when they had taken the books of the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Look at me. Those aren't angels. Those are us. Angels can't be redeemed. We are. Angels can't be forgiven of sin. We are. And that's us singing. That's the words of the song that we'll sing. And it talks about harps. It talks about music. I'm going to take one entire Wednesday night Bible study and talk about the music of heaven. I think you'll enjoy it. So I'm not going to belabor this point, but it's going to be a place of music, and I won't sing off key anymore. Amen. What are you laughing about, Wiley? Next, heaven, and I'll finish with this one. Heaven is a place where we will serve God and work. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, I want you to notice there's going to be a new heaven, and there'll be a new earth. And we're coming to that study one of these days here. When God made the earth, he made man to work. Did you know when he remakes the earth has to still be maintained by man? We're going to have jobs just like we did before. We're just not going to be cursed with sweat. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be cursed by sin. And we'll get to run it the way God intended for us to run it for eternity. That means somebody might have to mow grass. I don't know. Now, there won't be any weeds. Praise the Lord. But there's going to be things to do here on earth that are going to need to be maintained. Same thing in heaven, according to the Bible. And we will serve him. We will rule and reign with him. The term rule and reign, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God put man to have dominion over the earth. Do you know what the word dominion means? Dominance. Ruling and reigning over it. We're not supposed to let Mother Nature tell us what to do. We're supposed to tell Mother Nature what to do. We're not supposed to let all the forest be pristine forest and let it alone and let it burn to the ground every year. We're supposed to take care of it. That's right. We're supposed to maintain things. That's how we're so... these green people are stupid in more than one way. I'm not talking about the Martians either. I'm talking about... You know, I'm sorry, I'll use a word I probably shouldn't use, but the state of California, Governor Jerry Brown, just signed into law that they are going to regulate the farmers for how many farts the cows do. Because it's too much methane, and they have a tax to pay on cow farts. It's in the news. Look it up. They are taxing farmers by how many cows they have, and how much output they have, and the farmers are now going to have to pay a tax to generate money for the state of California based on the fact that cows do what cows do. And you're laughing, but they're saying this is going to prompt the farmers to do better feeding for the cows so they don't have as much of that problem. Low octane grass. Now, you laugh. It was signed into law this week. These people are stupid.
Amen to that.
Well, it's causing greenhouse gases. It's not green, but it's gas. It's causing global warming. Light it on fire. It'll burn up. It doesn't create global warming. There is no such thing.
Amen.
Folks, the world is just stark raving crazy. Stark raving crazy. Now, when we get to heaven, God's going to teach us the Bible.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to sit down and enjoy church for once. Let God teach for a while. I believe we're going to have jobs there. Fruit's going to need harvested. Horses and animals are going to need cared for. People and events are going to take place. There's going to be groups of people singing all over the heaven and earth. There's going to be concerts to go to, and not like some of the ones that you guys used to go to. There's going to be cooking that needs done. You say, why? Because there's food, amen? Somebody's got to make pies out of all that fruit. Can I tell you something? There's going to be plenty to do. Now, there's going to be more to do than we can even study. I'm a few minutes later than I planned to be. But let me say this. Heaven is going to be just as real as earth is. There's going to be plenty to do. Don't worry. You're not going to sit on a cloud with angel wings playing a harp and sprinkling spoofle dust. Okay? There's going to be real things to do while you're there. I was thinking about Ricky. I really believe he's up there working, putting mansions together in heaven. I believe there's others there that have jobs to do that are there. And that's what it's all about. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this. I know that heaven is a real place. And we'll have real things to do there. I just want to become a little bit more real to you. As the piano plays, let's stand to our feet.